Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, we get with Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois, president of VersaBar Incorporated, recipient of the Popular Science Engineering Innovation of the Year from, no idea.
New Orleans, Louisiana, down here in the south, a little cool.
New Orleans, Louisiana, and of course, Hall of Famer, everybody's best friend, Mike Ditka, who can't walk 4 feet without somebody asking for an autograph. How are you, Coach?
I'm no good, guys. How are you?
Well, okay. All right. News number one for Champaign-Urbana. It looks like Tim Beckman, the Toledo head football coach, will be announced later today as the new Illinois football coach, ties to the Middle West, a successful sitting head coach, the first successful sitting head coach we've hired since 1970.
Bob Blackman.
My coach, Bob Blackman. Bob Blackman from Dartmouth, who had a tremendous record out there and did quite well here, except
he
for
He did Ohio fine. State. He was yeah. a 500. Those were the days with Ohio State and Michigan. Mike, they just rolled over everybody just week in and week out. But we beat everybody else. We couldn't beat them. But
well, Mike, it's a guy who gets a shot here at the Big Ten, and he's an energetic defensive his pass has been in the defensive area. But he's energetic. He's fired up. Everybody needs to give Tim Beckman every opportunity to be wildly successful as he has been in the MAC.
Well, I agree with that. I think the big thing, too, you know, you got to understand that it's fine. If Tim is the greatest coach in the world, you got to be able to recruit some players that can help you, you know, implement what he wants to do down there. You know? So the recruiting's got to, he'll probably pick up a little bit, but I'm sure he can do that. And it's a great opportunity. Illinois is a great university. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, Tim Beckman, they beat Purdue at Purdue last year, Johnny, and this year they had Ohio State in Columbus beat. They ended up losing 27-22, so it's a fine Toledo program he's putting
in. That's pretty good work, and you know, too, if you can get some players that can compete at Toledo, we hope we can do that at Illinois, right. I would think so, absolutely.
All right, and Mike, tell me, you know, why I should be shocked that Albert Pujols took all the money. I maybe thought that this was another Stan Musial, one-team icon, going to stay with the Cardinals forever, but it came down to the bottom line, didn't it?
Well, it's unfortunate. It really is, because I think it's, and I think the Cardinals handled it very well, and I've read the statement the president of the Cardinals made, and it's tough. I mean, how much is enough, and how high is high, and how much of the agents play in this, and there is no such thing as loyalty. I don't know. I mean, it bothers me in a sense that this is becoming, it's all about money. So for, you know, an individual, especially in baseball, you look at these kids come in, and they're in, all of a sudden they're, you know, a Celtic like Larry Bird, all of a sudden now they're Nick. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I think, you know, some guys are meant to be where they are. You mentioned Musial, you mentioned a lot of guys. I just think that it is what it is, but it's all about money, I guess. And I don't blame the kid. I'm not blaming Pujols. I mean, he's not a kid. But I mean, I'm not sure that realistically a 10-year deal at age 31 for $254 million makes, I don't know. I mean, maybe he can keep those numbers up. I read all the things this morning. If he hits this and does this and do this, he'll break all these records. But, you know, there's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts, and there's always a chance of injury and everything else. So, I don't know.
Well, I tell you, I think that maybe if you had a certain way of looking at it, Steve, $250 million, you could rationalize it for Albert's last 10 years, but I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that the Dodgers just bought Albert's next 10 years.
Angels, LA Angels.
Well, it's Los Angeles, isn't it, Steve? It's all the same out there. But so the Angels pay $200. I think it's a bad deal. I don't see him. Maybe you'll get 3 or 4 years. Mike, I don't know either. You've got these champions, and they have what Rocky would call the eye of the tiger. And does Albert have any more? He really didn't have a good start this season. He didn't really have a great World Series. He had one of the greatest games in one of the games that the Cardinals didn't really need him, any of those home runs. But,
I agree. And I think also, you know, guys, you got to understand one thing. No matter who you are, if you're put into this situation and then the pressure is going to mount for you to, you know, be the guy out there every day, getting, you know, doing the job every day, the pressure and pressure for, there'll be more and more pressure on it for him to even be better and to succeed more than he has in the past. I really believe that. And if he doesn't, I think the depths of disappointment in L.A. are going to be pretty great.
Well, that's the problem. Your expectations are as high as they can be, and and let me tell you too. I think it's kind of a catch 22. The values, and I think what drives you, which is not the money, and which is the loyalty, and maybe the challenge of the game, it kind of goes away once you just get paid. Although I don't know if you can maintain the intensity. And Albert had a few injuries, so I think it won't be as bad as dumping Lou Brock after his rookie year, which is what the Cubs did. But
I'm not knocking Albert. Evidently, he's a great young man, and you know, he deserves to do whatever he wants to do. That's just of course his choice. But I'm saying, you know, I don't know. I mean, spending that much time with the Cardinals, which is to me one of the great organizations of all of sport, a great tradition in St. Louis, and the money's really not any different. It really, when you come down to it, it's really not any different. Once you start making that amount of money.
Yeah.
You're talking about nickels.
Oh, I mean, and I got to tell you, I agree with you on I would not knock out.
I don't understand
Fields,
the move. I mean,
I would have advised him.
In L.A. than St. Louis, fine. I don't believe that's good either.
Yeah.
But I would have advised him just what you said. The money really doesn't mean that much at that level. Are you going to be happy with that kind of pressure versus staying in St. Louis and finishing out for just about the same amount of money, if you really want to be honest?
No question. So. And then the legacy aspect of it, the fact that he would have passed Stan Musial's Cardinal records, all of them, and just the legacy.
Well, he won't, though. He won't pass Stan Musial's Cardinal records. I don't allow it.
Well, he won't anymore.
He won't. Nobody will. No, that's to be broken. That's why they're there. He said them.
Yeah. Well,
you know, there's certain things. I mean, really, you know, I'm a great Musial fan. Always have been. Always will be. And you know, you can't begrudge the kid. I mean, it's what sports is today, guys. Right. You got to understand. There's no loyalty on behalf of anybody. In most cases, the owners aren't loyal. The players aren't loyal. Yeah. You know, the coaches or managers are kind of caught in the middle. But, you know, I think, and I don't know. I don't know if that's part of the reason Tony walked away anyways. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's switch to Rod Blagojevich. Mike, were you surprised at 14 years for the former Illinois governor?
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised. I mean, he probably didn't do any more than a lot of other guys have done. But, you know, he didn't do it. He wasn't very smart about what he did, let's face it. And it's a shame. He's kind of destroyed his life. And I'm not sure that anywhere along the way did he ever really thought about the consequences of this whole thing. You know, that he could, you know, I mean, what if I get caught doing this? Well, what's going to happen to me and my family? I don't think he ever thought about that. Well, you better think about it now.
Well, and he's kind of made himself a high-profile case in terms of political corruption, which kind of, I think hurt him in the sentence. I was a little surprised at 14 years. If you want to be honest, that's a long time. Although I don't know what the deal is as far as when he can get out, but
he has to serve 12.
12 years.
That's a lot of time.
That's
a long time. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying that this is a strong message sent by this judge. There's no question about it. Did it have to be that strong? I agree with John. That's kind of surprising to me, too.
All right, it's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. You need a great vehicle, go to Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola, sponsors of Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny here on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM 742. The President of the United States was in Kansas earlier this week and said something that really caught the ear of a lot of conservatives. In this one-minute clip that I'll play both of you guys, he talks about doing it the same old way and essentially that maybe capitalism and liberty don't blend. Listen to this.
In Teddy Roosevelt's time, there is a certain crowd in Washington who for the last few decades have said, let's respond to this economic challenge with the same old tune. The market will take care of everything, they tell us. If we just cut more regulations and cut more taxes.
All right, so he's talking less taxes, less regulation. He's right on target with that. Markets take care of it, right on target with that.
Especially for the wealthy, our economy will grow
wealthy,
stronger.
Wealthy being defined as somebody who makes $250,000 in their business as a cumulative number. And then finally.
Especially for the wealthy, our economy will grow stronger. Now, it's a simple theory. And we have to admit, it's one that speaks to our rugged individualism and our healthy skepticism of too much government. That's in America's DNA. And that theory fits well on a bumper sticker. But here's the problem. It doesn't work. It has never worked.
That's the president in Kansas. We'll begin with Johnny. Essentially, markets, less taxes, less regulation. It doesn't work. It's never worked.
Well, it has worked. That he's wrong. And as we get more regulation, it stops to work as much. But my question is, what does work better for Liberty, Steve? What exactly system would he be angling for then? Because let me tell you something, it's not perfect. I don't think the government regulation has been in the right areas. We haven't regulated Wall Street. They have actually taken us to the cleaners with their deals and mergers and skimming off the top. There's no doubt about that. That's not capitalism. That's somebody's idea of how to sell companies without actually inventing anything. So I think that the free market allows us to have free lives. Well, what exactly system works better for Liberty, Mike? Would he be thinking about communism, where
here's the thing. Here's the new terminology is now not capitalism, free market, and that's the whole thing with all these people. It's free market system, and yes, you're right. It leans towards socialism, communism, and you're right. That was very ill-advised, whoever advised him to make those comments. That's very ill-advised for the President of the United States, for anybody else, because it's just not fact. And, we know what the bog down in America is today. It's regulations on everything. It's too much government. It's big government. It's overspending. Now, you want to talk about the taxes? The taxes can be fixed. He wants to talk about a fair share. Everybody pay their fair share. What does that mean? Does that mean because you make more, you pay more? And which is true in this country today. But shouldn't everybody pay something? Shouldn't everybody have ante up something in this whole equation? And I'm not sure that I really understand the answer to it. I'm saying those who have pay more. There's no question about it. The tax code says that. Well, you want to simplify the tax code. You say, okay, if you make a dollar, you pay 20 cents. Everybody. Then all this problem goes away. But you got to cut the loophole. You got to get rid of all the junk that lets the rich people and the corporations and the people who make billions of dollars also not pay taxes. And so it's going to hit a lot of people hard. And there are some people who no question about it. Pull strings, go behind, push the system, beat the system. But is it a bad system? It's a system that can be fixed. I know that.
That's what I say. I think if you look at the economic model, it is capitalism. It gives, which, by the way, Steve, what that means is every person has a chance to what's the Army slogan? Be the best they can be. They have an honest shot at doing very well. There's no other system that allows that. You can't let anybody overachieve in a socialistic economy. That's not fair. It's not fair, Steve.
Yeah.
You got to stop. You can't give Albert Pujols just because he can hit better than anyone who's ever hit any extra money. That's not right. You got to give some to me. I couldn't even bunt the ball. Okay.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'll take $10 million out of that deal. What the heck?
Well,
but that's why it doesn't. What you can fix, though. Why did BP buy Amoco for $45 billion. Someone got about $3 billion in commission. What was that? That's not capitalism. That's just fraud. Look, that eliminated jobs, and we had a law in the books called antitrust that's where government's role was. Just because they haven't done what they should have done in the regulatory role doesn't mean capitalism doesn't work. We can see what doesn't work, and they're all standing around the Capitol every day if you want to see something that doesn't work.
Now you got it, John. Now you're getting to it. Now, when you start talking about the approval rating of it goes both sides of the aisle. Approval rating of Congress, what, 13% or 15%? It's something low. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We got a guy running for president who is president. I mean, it's silly.
Well, maybe
do your job. If you're supposed to be reelected, you'll be reelected.
Maybe most revealing for the president was being there 101 years after Teddy Roosevelt spoke in the same place, pushing socialism. 101 years ago, pushing socialism.
I don't think anybody doubts. That this guy is a little different than Reagan was. Let's face it.
All right, it's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. We have about 8 more minutes here, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. MF Global, John Corzine, in front of the committee yesterday, has no idea what happened to $1.2 billion of people's retirement money. Are you kidding me?
Well, Well, it might be in one of those airplanes or those yachts he had, but that's pretty hard to lose that kind of money, guys. I'd have some idea where it was.
He's truly sorry, Johnny. He says
he's sorry. You know, it go back to Blagojevich. He gets 14 years. I guess he was trying to, raise $500,000 to appoint someone, which was terrible. But here's a guy blow $1 billion, and he'll just probably just shrug it off and apologize.
Well,
I mean,
the demeanor of the committee was almost apologetic that they have to do this to him because he's in the club. He's in the club. He's a former senator, former governor. Everybody was treating him so, he was respectful. They were respectful. It was like, we're sorry we have to check into this, but it's our deal. And so tell me a little bit. I have no idea, and I'm truly sorry. What?
That's right. That's the right response, is just kind of chuckle and shake your head. I don't know what else to tell you, because I would postulate they know exactly where the money went. But so what happens to those people, Steve? What's going to happen to those people that lost that money?
They lost all the money. There's no insurance, no guarantees of anything. They just all these people have their life savings in this company. It's gone, and he's truly sorry. And then they ask. They asked him a pointed question. They said, sir, did you authorize a transfer of any of the monies? And he looked like a deer in the headlights, and he said, I did not intentionally break any rules. So,
you're right. He's one of the good old boys, so he'll be, take it easy on that sucker. That's all.
It's no question. All right, we switch to the NFL on Sunday. It's Chicago at Denver. Can the Bears win in Tim Tebow land, Mike?
Not scoring 3 points. No, I mean, that's the face of guys. I mean, their defense is playing well. Their special teams are very well. You can't turn the ball over 6 times in the last 2 games, throwing the ball and win it. Only put 3 points on the board. And you beat with a Hail Mary pass that actually was played the way it's supposed to be played. And they still lost. So, you know, the Bears are a better football team than what they showed Sunday. But then again, when you lose your 2 top players on offense, when you lose Cutler and you lose Forte, you got a problem now. You got a major problem. Not that they don't have a running game. Not that they still can't throw the football. But you got to do things a little bit differently. And it's going to have to be a low-scoring game. And that's possible against Denver, because Denver has not put up a lot of points until last week.
I'll tell you, though, it's tough when you lose your key guys, and Tebow's kind of on a roll. But, Mike, you reminded me, I remember talking to you about the Hail Mary. You were working on the Hail Mary in practice, and you said, you know, be honest with you, that's not that bad a play.
No, you throw it up. I mean, if you throw it up, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, chances are that 8 out of 10 times it's going to be incomplete or knocked down, but the other two will be a touchdown probably, So it's kind of hard to explain it. Really, it is. But they worked on all these things, and Urlacher did exactly what he's supposed to do.
Yeah,
knocked the ball down. The guy was underneath him.
Unbelievable.
Caught the ball. It's
unbelievable.
Hard to figure it out.
Unbelievable.
You know, he said, "Well, should he jumped up and caught the ball?" Well, that's not what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
All right. How about New Orleans at Tennessee, Johnny? What do you see there?
We got issues. I mean, you've got Hasselbeck, which he didn't do us any favors in the playoffs, and. We don't have a very good defense. We've learned to kind of let the other team make a mistake. But I'm concerned about the game with Breezy. We can beat anybody in the league. We can outscore anybody. But a couple of mistakes. I would have to say I'm thinking we may not make it through that game. So not very.
Well, I don't know. I don't see how the Tennessee. I don't know too much about their defense. I just don't think that there's any way they can slow down the Saints' offense. I really don't. And it's a matter. I think the Saints know right now. And the Saints are better in some areas than people think they are. They run the ball pretty darn good at times. And defensively, they can do some good things at times. They're not consistent. That's the big problem. But
well, you know what?
They're lights out.
Do you know what they do run defense? They do much better inside the 15-yard line. They really do play that end zone. So they've learned, don't give up the big play, and just if they get us backed up, we can do better with that shorter field. They are a better team when they're not giving as much room up on coverage, and I guess everything bunches up down by the goal line in the red zone. So, but it's going to be tough. I think Tennessee's playing for a playoff spot, aren't they, Mike? And, of course,
well,
we all are.
The Tennessee's a pretty good team, and you can figure out Chris Johnson. I can't figure him out. He ran for 0 yards the first 4 games, and now he's running like he's running for, Heisman Trophy or something. It's crazy.
Apologies to ESPN, Monday Night Football, St. Louis at Seattle. Ouch.
Well, they kind of got whacked last week, too, you know. You don't expect that to happen. But, you know, the St. Louis-Seattle thing could be a pretty good game, guys. You know, St. Louis, I hate to say that, you know, at times they have done something. Seattle is kind of, I don't know, they're kind of an enigma. They're kind of an up-and-down team. And they seem on occasion to play up to the level of any competition, then they play down to the level of any competition. But it's a football team that evidently Pete thinks they're doing the right things up there, and it looks like they are. They're going in the right direction.
Well, here's a question. So you talk about St. Louis, Steve. They look like the Super Bowl champions to me.
Yeah,
when the St. Louis Cardinals came out there with their trophy, they beat the Saints like a drum.
Yeah.
And they did it with a guy named Feely. Why didn't the Bears try to make a deal for him? Because he was reading our blitzes. He killed us. That's their quarterback. They're what, third string or whatever. And then, of course, we can't tackle Jackson anyway. But, no, you're right, Mike. They've got Chris Long. They've got Laurinaitis. They should be doing better, I think, than they are.
They drafted well. And I like the coach. I really do. I like Steve.
Me too. I do, too.
I do, too. But I just don't I don't know. You know what I mean? I know the bottom line in this business is if you don't win, you don't stay. You know, you lose your job.
Right.
That's
exactly
the way it is.
Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, we'll leave it there and reconvene to solve the problems of the world on Monday. But, Johnny, Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks so much again.
Thank you, Stevie.
Guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
See you later.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, exclusively on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
Great conversation again.
Always fun.